Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Stuart Thompson. Welcome to Crystal Transformation. We're broadcasting live from the Gatehouse, 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard West in Toronto, or Old Etobicoke, as I really like to say. And, well, as you can tell, I wasn't on here last week, and I'm back. Tonight will not be a full night, but nevertheless, I will have some information I would like to pass on to you nevertheless. Again, welcome to the show. First off, I should point out, this is only peer support. I'm not a therapist or a doctor or anything of that kind of thing whatsoever at all. I'm just offering my own views and my own experiences and hoping that you might get something out of it in helping yourself. It's all about self-help here. Basically, anybody coming to the house, that's what it's all about. We kind of point you in a direction. It's your choice whether you choose to follow through with it or not. And the bottom line is that if you don't put any effort into it, then you're obviously not going to get anything out of it or any healing. And that's what it's all about. Like I say, we just point you in a direction, and it's up to you, basically, to do the work. And that's what I call self-help. So last week, while I was away, and while I was telling you that I was away on assist training, and basically assist facilitator training, and boy, talk about a heavy week, a very very heavy week. Basically myself and the executive director, Brad Hutchinson. That's the executive director of the house. We both went when we were out in Burlington, Ontario, and we did our assistant facilitator training. And that was, wow, that was something else. A very, very intense week of training. And now we're both certified. We both are certified facilitators. And now we can basically train anybody and assist first aid. So basically our goal is now to get everybody in the house, all the facilitators. And that's the thing, when you're here, we do talk about suicide pretty much almost on a daily basis. And it's always in the back of our minds from our experiences. And it's so very, very important to be aware of well, not just a sign, but being able to talk about it. Suicide is not an easy thing to talk about. And I have got a lot of experience with this, not just from my brother passing away due to himself 37 years ago, but I've had known a few people over the years to do that, and I've had more than enough experience that warrants me from doing what I've done in regards to doing this training. Back in May, I went and I did the assist training, and the assist first aid training, and I did it with 9 other people here from the house, and then that's when Brad decided that the two of us should go and do the facilitator training so we can train everybody here in the house. And that was the goal of what he wanted to accomplish, and I'm just really, really grateful to today and now that they offered this opportunity to me as well. So I really look forward to giving back to the community and especially the house and training facilitators along these lines of assist. And if you're unfamiliar with assist, you can go to livingworks.net or www.livingworks.net. Let me just double check the email address to be absolutely sure, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. And you can get all the information you need. Yes, just like I said, yeah. Just go to www.livingworks.net, and they can basically offer you the same thing they gave us, and it will be very helpful. Even if you don't do the facilitator training, I would really recommend you go do the assist training, the first aid training, and basically. What it gives you a greater insight to that taboo topic of suicide. Suicide is very, very, for most people don't even know what to talk about. It's kind of challenging not that they're all the same, but just that word and how it's how people use it, or and more so in the case of what I'm talking about is where people don't use it and are afraid to talk about it. Well, I'm not really afraid to talk about it because I'm kind of fed up and I'm tired, and I want people to understand and people to know that that people do care and people do want to help, and it's, you know, and it's not just about that. It's just the whole fact that doing it. I mean, unless you're in that dark place to begin with and understand, well, kind of what I'm talking about, then you can take it pretty much from there. Everybody has their own opinion in regards to this topic, and you know, people. I know it's been a huge. It's always a huge debate, whether. You know, especially in this country, not just in this country, but other countries as well, whether you have the right to commit suicide or not commit suicide, especially, I mean, there's many different aspects to it. If you're mentally ill, and, you know, again, that's another topic all itself, but what I'm talking about is if you're terminally ill and you want to take your life, for example, and that's what the big debate is in this country right now, which our government seems to keep sweeping under the carpet and will not address. So, I imagine after our election, which is coming up in the next 24 or 23 days, somewhere around there, that October or something, October 24th or something like that, I'm not too sure. I don't remember the exact date. Talking about our Canadian election here. And whether it gets brought up through Parliament and gets brought up again in the topic, but it seems that most governments do not want to deal with this because my theory behind it is that they don't know how to deal with it. And I'm guessing that my theory is probably right, because really, where does our government fall in as far as humanity and human rights are concerned? It's a pretty fine line as far as I'm concerned. And as far as I'm concerned, there's a lot of debate needs to be talked to. In regards to this, there's tons and tons of debate needs to be discussed about this. And I don't know who's finally going to say what or decide what, but all I know is that people in government, they're not doctors and, you know, or philosophers or anything like that. And it's a pretty, pretty dark subject to talk about. And really, where do they have the authority to even talk about something like this? I mean, you know, their goals or their... Why they're elected is to run the country, and as far as death is concerned, about taking your own, that's a huge topic, and that's something that can be taken lightly. And I don't know whether politicians are really qualified to deal with this in the level that we're talking about here. So, and I know most doctors, I mean, ethically, most doctors won't support that, because their goal or their primary directive as a doctor is to save people, not to take people's lives away. So when I talk about a great debate, this is phenomenally a great debate, and it can go many different directions, and everybody has their own opinion, and I respectfully so. But when, as far as humanity falls into place here, it really has you thinking deep down to what is really right and what is wrong. I mean, as far as the term ill are concerned, you know, when we talk about somebody who just wants to take their own life because they're in a dark spot, well, again, that's up for debate as well. I mean, who am I to say whether you should or shouldn't? I mean, although primarily my goal after my assist training is to prevent you from doing such a thing, and then talk about it, to me, it seems to be more conducive to what I'm kind of talking about here. I'm, you know, pro-life or pro-death. Again, like I say, again, this falls back to, there's a lot of debate behind this, to who am I to say whether you should live or die? And there's an awful lot to consider here, you know, not just from a political point of view, but if you want to look at it from a humanitarian point of view, ethically, I mean, we are born to live, not born to die. And I mean, from, you know, from the beginning, but again, to mix words up and say this and say that doesn't really cut it as far as I'm concerned. And it really doesn't come to any kind of resolve in regards to what the debate is about. again, like I say, I was trained to basically be pro-life. And, you know, indubitably in the end, if somebody wants to do bad enough, they're going to do it. They're not just, they're just not going to tell you. They just go and do it. Unlike my brother, for example, and I know a few other people have done the exact same thing. They don't tell you anything. They just go ahead and do it. And that's their way of dealing with whatever they're dealing with at the time. And I know from my own experience and trying it myself, and I nearly did succeed, if I may add, and when I think about it now, well, I'm here, and obviously there's something to be said about that. I guess I have something to give back, or my time isn't, my time wasn't then. That's why I'm still here. So that was kind of a sign to me. I'm far from being religious. Although I am a very spiritual person, but I'm far from religious. I don't. It's just not my thing. And for my own beliefs, well, which I won't get into now because this show is not about being political or being religious or anything like that. This show I'm talking about that I do here is not about anything but that childhood sexual abuse. And that's primarily why I'm here to give you support. Right now, myself as well, but that's what I'm here for. Only that, and not only. My opinion is as far as what the laws that are concerned, the religion is concerned, really don't come into play here. Because I'm here to fight for the survivor, the victim, and I will pretty much go to the end, whatever that may be. I have lots to do. I have lots of people I like to interview. I'm very, very fortunate that I'm here working, volunteering out of the gatehouse. And I have tons to offer. And I will continue doing this as long as I'm allowed to. Or basically, it's on basic full stop. But being the internet, being as it is, the World Wide Web, I can pretty much keep going as long as I want. I don't even have to broadcast it out of the house. I can do it anywhere. I can do it from my bloody phone if I have to. But the point being is, I'm here, and I'm not going to go away anytime soon. And I want other survivors to know that you're not alone. So I've been kind of talking about the cysts, and I kind of went, spread it out a little bit. And when I mean by spreading it out a bit, I'm talking about I got into the political side of it as well a little bit. My religious aspect of it as well, to a certain degree, not to any great depth, but it's certainly something to think about. Is two sides wrong or is it right? Now, like I say, it creates great conversation. It's a very dark subject to begin with, but nevertheless should be addressed on a lot more open basis, in my opinion. It's kind of like child abuse, domestic violence, all these things. These are taboo topics that most people don't really want to talk about. We hear about it through the media, and when we do hear about it through the media, it's usually a pretty sad story, and most people really don't want to even hear about it or listen because it's just plain bad news. But to me, it's just as bad news as what, again, I'm not being political here, but I'm just making an observation. It's no different than reporting the war in Syria, reporting what happened in Palestine, when Israel went in and bombed the heck out of them. Same thing there. It's no different, and all those lives were lost. I could use World War II, World War I, Korean War, Vietnam War, World Line Heights War, all kinds of different scenarios in regards to what is right and what is wrong. But the bottom line is people don't really want to hear about it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to deal with it on the level that that in the end, well, that could potentially have some kind of resolve. I don't pretend to have the answers, and nor will I try to pretend that I have the answers. But I want to talk about this because it creates great debate, and it's something that needs to be discussed. And it shouldn't really, really shouldn't really be swept under the carpet any more than what it has. So, again, I'm kind of going to leave it open, and I'm going to kind of bounce back and forth here, but that's something for you to think about now. And granted, I hope it's not triggering for anybody. But really, this is a deep-seated topic and really needs to be addressed. Now that I've gone to LivingWorks or to LivingWorks, done the LivingWorks training for assist to become a facilitator to help in the aid of that. Now in my opinion, for myself, I really truly I've accomplished something that's worthwhile and worth giving back to the community about. Because frankly, you know, what I've learned over these last years, I've got an awful lot to live for, and it's a hell of a lot more than the other thought I have was what I didn't have to live for. So if that's any kind of a positive note to think about, then I would certainly please consider that, because my life now is, wow, it's so much different. And I have so much to offer in regards to my experiences, not just as a survivor, but in my healing that I've done in order to get past where I was, you know, to the point where I boast about not having any shame anymore. Well, I don't have any shame anymore in regards to what happened to me as a child. And I'm quite proud and not ashamed to talk about it. And I encourage others that have been through my same experience like I have to find a path, or at least try to find some kind of healing path so they can get past it. They can stop blaming themselves for what happened to them, because really, you were only a child like I was. I mean, granted, it's easy for someone else to say, but I can say it because I've been there, and I totally get it. I just totally get it. And I don't know. It's again, like I say, again, it's something for great debate. Again, like, people need to talk about this. They can't. People are fed up. We don't want to have to deal with this anymore on the level that we are. You know, a lot of us survivors that have gotten healing just want to have a so-called normal life. Well, we don't even know what a normal life is. We've never had a normal life. Never experienced that because of what's happened to us in our past. You know, after isolating yourself for many, many years, and depending on whatever level you might have done it, you would have a deeper appreciation of what I'm talking about, the level of where I'm coming from. Again, this is another great debate for most people. I'm here primarily for healing purposes, not to debate whether it's right or wrong or you know, or trying to throw out any choices, but at least I have a choice of coming to the house, or the gatehouse that is, and I had a choice of healing, and I chose that path. And that was my best path for me. I certainly can't tell you what would be best for you, but I tell you, if you're having a hard time with life, and I'm talking about a hard time with life, I'm talking about everything from bad relationships, both intimate, non-intimate, you know, friendships, being able to hold your job, you've got addiction issues, everything from drugs and alcohol to whatever other form of addiction you may have that keeps you in a place that's not, that's not potentially you. Now, you know, this is the great thing about when I came to the house here, the house helped me find the new me, the me that I kind of had buried since I was a child. So it does have its advantages, and I'm quite proud and quite carefree, very carefree about talking about this, as I have no qualms how I went about my healing. And again, it falls back to what I said in the beginning. It all goes back to basically, yeah, this is what the house offered, and I had to do all the work in order to be where I am now. So for anybody out there who's not had any type of therapy or healing of sorts for your abuse that you received as a child, and I highly recommend coming to a place like the gatehouse just to get that sort of thing. And granted, it's not everywhere, and I wish it was everywhere, and my goal before I kick the bucket, as they say, is that it's going to be in most centers, at least in North America anyway, or at least in our country, Canada, and maybe even the U.S., I mean, and maybe some other countries, I don't know, but that's kind of my goal, is that every center, at least my part of the continent anyway, where I live, is that it's going to have some kind of help for people who've been through this. It's showing that there is actually a better way. Now I'm back on the topic of the Gatehouse. The Gatehouse offers programs for men and for women, and each program for whether it be for men or for women is 15 weeks long, and it's all peer support, as I've stated right from the beginning. They have a men's group, they have a women's group, but after you've done that and you feel that you're comfortable and you'd like to move on even further, after you realize where you are physically, mentally, psychologically, and you feel you're ready, you want to heal some more, then we offer phase two program, which is the co-ed program. And with that co-ed program, we dive right into your to your sacred path or your sacred journey of healing, letting go of the things that held you back for all those years. And I know from personal experience that I've done it a few times now. Not only have I done it the group as a participant, but I've also done it as a facilitator. I've switched roles a few times, and I might even go back and do it again just to give myself a gentle reminder that that I'm okay, I'm good. And it also shows the people at the house, meaning not just managers and stuff like that, but it shows everybody else that, yeah, I am human, and I'm still struggling with some things. I'm not completely healed, yet I strive to better myself in any possible way, and grow, letting things go that happened in my past. And when I talk about not having any more shame, boy, I don't have any more shame. I carried all that around for 20 years, and it ruled my life more than I care to even talk about it. And I probably will dive into it from time to time, letting people understand, or letting you out there understand, that you're not alone. And I've had those feelings, and I've had other people come on here on the show and talk about what happened to them. And I'm sure that you, well, at least I hope you can relate anyway. Can't say I'm sure, but I hope you can relate to many of the struggles that we've gone through, myself and others that I've had come on here, struggles that we've gone through just to get to be where we are, you know? I am so grateful that I am here, and I've had this opportunity to even talk about this. It's very, very mind-blowing, and you get my choice of words, but that's what it is. It's just, wow. It's huge. Huge, 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 huge. And I don't have to put a whole lot of thought when I come here. I just, you know, talk about preparation when I come here. I really don't need to prepare a lot. I don't need to psych myself out. I can come in here, and I could just come in here, and I could talk about what happened. I could talk about my healing, my struggles in my healing, how it's affected me, both emotionally, physically, and you know, when you carry that emotional pain in your body, and has a real funny way of affecting people. And I've talked about this many, many, many times, and I am so, I'm so grateful that I have this opportunity to even talk about it, and how, I've talked about a lot of the downside, but I've also talked a lot about the upside. But anyway, the co-ed group, what I've talked about, started talking about, is again, it's a 15-week program, and we offer, it's basically we're diving into your healing, like really digging into your healing, and that's what it's about. It's about letting go of what happened to you in your past. Letting go of the things that held you back, and finding another path to go on. That's what it's about. That's what we try to basically, as a facilitator, we try to put across to you, if you're here, that instead of finding self-destructive ways of conducting your life, we try to help you find more, well, productive ways of healing and letting go of that stuff, so that it doesn't basically own you anymore. So you don't feel like so you can get rid of that shame and that guilt and that fear of wanting to move forward, because that's what we've done for so long. And there's definitely another way. I mean, you don't have to be like that. Primarily, it's your choice in the end, but we try to show you another way here at the house. And to me, or other, this has been the better path for me, and it's brought me here today to do what I'm doing here now. It's allowed me to show other people that come into the house and offer them the same type of care and empathy that I received when I went through the program, and when I facilitate with my with another facilitator. But I may point out that there's always two facilitators. Sometimes there's three because there's someone coming in new and they want to facilitate. So we sometimes will throw a third person in there. But it's all very conducive to your healing that that you grasp this in some way or aspect and apply it to yourself. And when you do so, well, I'm an example of what I'm talking about. And I can and I've had people in here too that I've interviewed that have done the exact same thing. And whenever I see it and I see somebody transform, and that's what it's about, it's about transforming. But transforming, letting go of what happened to you, and finding a better way of at the end of the day, you're taking a better way of taking care of yourself. And hopefully, by doing so, your quality of life will improve, as mine has, in many, many different aspects. I hold no qualms in telling you, yeah, I still have some things going on. Absolutely. I'm not perfectly healed, but I tell you, I'm certainly not on that dark side where I was when I first came here. And at least I know who I am now, as before I didn't know who I was. And it's been quite a journey to where I am now. And it's funny how a lot of these things, a lot of things have happened, all in positive things, if I may add. Everything from me doing this radio show, for example, right now, where I'm sitting here talking. Everything from myself giving my story, which basically, which basically was my beginning of me with my voice, learning how to use my voice. I said my story to Deb Mayberry when she put it in her book, Unlock the Door Beyond Sexual Abuse. And then I did another film documentary with James Buffin, Her Truth Pictures. I'm still waiting for that to be released, although it's going on 2 years now, but which shouldn't be hopefully too much longer before they do finally release it. I thought they were going to release it in TIFF, which just finished, but I guess not. But still, there's other countries that I know that James could possibly release the film, and it'll be interesting to see the type of feedback we get back at it. But those are just examples of what I'm talking about in regards to my voice. And I've done several interviews now with Dr. Vibe. I've done with Troy on the Red Light Sports Network through Twitter, for example. And these things keep coming along and happen along the way. And I'm just grateful that I have this opportunity to sit here and talk about it, to talk about my healing and what it's done for me, my trials and tribulations in regards to where I'm at and what it's done for me, both good and bad. And people, you guys out there, you need to understand that it's not that easy. When I talk about self-help, well, that's what it's all about. It's about helping yourself get past what has happened to you, and getting a grip of your life, which a lot of us never really have had a grip of ourselves. I know, like speaking for myself, I never really had much of a grip of my life, of who I was and what I represented. I just didn't know until I came here. And I'm really, really grateful to have this opportunity to sit and talk about it at the level that I do have. Okay, so I talked about the men's program, the women's program. Now I talked about the co-ed program. So the Gatehouse also offers an art therapy program as well, which is 12 weeks long. And I think in the past I've talked about being 8 weeks. Well, I stand corrected on that because I was talking with Lacey, and she gave me a just reminder that it's actually 12 weeks. So we have an art therapy class. Again, it's a co-ed program. here at the Gatehouse, and it is for men and women, and it is a 12-week program, and it is a wonderful program. Maybe I might get a chance to do that myself in the new year. I'm kind of hoping so, bring me back to what I feel I've lost from my childhood in regards to my art, artistic abilities, because I know that when I was a young teenager, before my abuse stopped, that I used to love doing art, and then I just suddenly stopped doing it. It's kind of like music. I just let it go. It's like it just didn't fit into what I was feeling and thinking. And I'm sure a lot of you other, I'm sure a lot of survivors will completely comprehend what I'm talking about, because one of the things we have a tendency of doing is, as a child, it's when this happens to us, or teenagers, as I made reference to there just a few moments ago, that we just basically shut these things out. We don't let these things in. We change. We change in many, many, many ways that people don't understand, they don't get. You know, such as like trust. I've always talked about trust, but we don't trust people. You know, we have a tendency of isolating ourselves, the form of disassociating with people, you know, become loners. I've always made reference to myself being a loner or a lone wolf. That was pretty much it. I mean, yes, I had friends, I hung around with people, but people really don't know me. And even today, I still struggle with that. I talk about some of my struggles I have. Well, yeah, I still struggle with disassociation. I still struggle with trusting people. And granted, I'm at a much greater level than I used to be, but I don't run like I used to run, not like I used to anyway. I feel a little reserved, or in some cases I might be very reserved, depending on the gut feeling I get from the individual, where they're coming from. Because I was basically, from my abuse, another thing it turned me into was a people pleaser. I would go out of my way to please anybody just for the sake of doing it. And really, at the end of the day, it really didn't really do anything for me. When I think about it now, it helped them, but how did it help me? It really didn't help me anyway at all when I come to think about it now. People-pleasing, wow, that's another topic, great topic. I can relate so well to this, because I know on Tour Multimedia, when I do some of these sexual abuse chats with Bobby, Rachel, and Athena, And I know that this is one of the topics they talk about all the time. And we do people please like crazy. And if you don't understand what I mean by people pleasing, let me dive a little deeper into that. And so basically what we do by people pleasing is we'll put other people's needs before our own. If you don't get what I'm saying. And that's what I did for years and years and years. And now I'm very careful now that I don't fall back into that trap again, because sometimes I notice that I'll overextend myself, and before I know it, here I am people pleasing again. But I must point out, this was an old habit and a hard one to break. And I still struggle with that to a certain degree. Again, something else. Like I say, when I talk about being healed, yes, I carry no shame. And yes, I carry little to no fear at all anymore. I just go for it. But nevertheless, I still have some struggles. I have no shame, but yet I struggle with trust. I struggle with believing people. And I am sure I'm going to get over it. It's not a question of sure. I am going to get over it. I will strive to make myself better in that way. As long as I keep doing what I'm doing, I will get past it. And you folks that are listening to me, if you follow me, and you'll see that over a period of time, that, yeah, I'm making subtle changes, and I share with you guys that there, just so you know that, yes, it is possible. I don't have to stay stuck in the past. I haven't stayed stuck in the past. Well, I am here, and now, and I'm talking about it, so that's more than what most people would do. A lot of people, even including myself before I came here, would basically just lock it up and shut it in the closet, not talk about it. And if I didn't think about it or talk about it, it's generally to myself. And, excuse me, who else would even understand that? Yeah, well, enough of that talking. Enough on that. So, I touched base on both the men's group, the women's group, the co-ed group, the art therapy group, which I said was 12 weeks long. We also have a youth program here, 18-24. And that there is an 8-week program, I know for sure. And we've also the ACT group to talk about. I know from time to time they have just women, and I know they've had groups where there's been co-ed. So it kind of goes back and forth. There's lots of opportunity, even for somebody young to come in here and get some kind of healing for what happened in their past. And I really enjoyed talking about this because let people know that, if you're living in the Toronto area, the greater Toronto area, you can come here and you can come here and do this. And it's another door for you to just get some healing. What else can I say about the house? we also do a lot of one-on-ones. I know I do a lot myself. And I know the other there's other facilitators doing the exact same thing. And I've done countless ones. And to be honest with you, I have no idea how many I've done now, but I've done lots of them. And I really enjoy doing that sort of thing on a one-on-one basis, because sometimes a group is great, but you only have 2 hours and you only have so much time. So we try to keep our groups to a minimum, to a minimum number of about 8, and then having 2 facilitators and sometimes 3. Usually the third wheel facilitator is just somebody who's coming in and just is doing it for the first time, and we want them to get an idea of what it's like to be on the other side. And what I mean by the other side, as a facilitator's point of view, the idea is that when you come in here as a participant, you come here to learn how to use how to get your voice. And as a facilitator, that's what we do. We try to help you, to show you, to give you your voice so that you can do like I'm here now, because it sure as hell got a voice. And I'm not that easy to persuade to not exercise my voice. I go out of my way to use my voice all the time now, and I keep doing it more and more and more and more. And I want people to know and understand that this is what can happen if you do this. And again, you have to keep in mind, it's all up to you. It's not us telling you what to do. It's totally up to you. We're just giving you a direction. And if you choose to follow that path, it's totally up to you. Again, it all falls back to, again, self-help. It's about self-help. We're not therapists here. Although what we are doing here is a form of cognitive behavior therapy, but we're not therapists. Granted, it's just, to me, I guess in a sense it is kind of therapy, but not really, because what makes it different is that we're not telling you what to do. We're pointing you in a direction that you, either you can take that path or you can't take that path. It's totally up to you. And by offering our experiences from our own healing that brought us to facilitating, hoping that will show you that you don't have to be in your past, as we, us facilitators, have gone through this, through that as well, and got us to the level of what we can facilitate. I hope I'm making some sense out there. But in that 15 weeks, you think 15 weeks is it sounds like a long time. Really, 15 weeks really isn't a long time. And I know, depending on where you are as far as your healing is concerned, or rather where you are emotionally, I should say, will determine whether you how quickly you heal, and how, and again, there's other factors as well. I shouldn't really just say that. That's not really fair. But you, depending where you are, and depending on how hard you want it bad enough, you want to get past it, will determine how quickly you heal. But you must keep this in mind. This is so very, very important. I know that everybody, we tell this to everybody that comes to the house, that your healing comes in your time. It's not me telling you you should be healed in 15 weeks or 16 weeks or 17 weeks, a year, 2 years, whatever. You heal your own darn time. You don't heal in what we in any specific time. Granted, our programs are 15 weeks long, but you need all that 15 weeks to understand what's going on with yourself. I know I sure as hell did. And it's so vitally important for you to understand that when you're going through this healing process, that you understand all these thoughts and emotions that you have going on inside you. You need to process it. So it takes a considerable amount of time. Some takes longer than others. But that's all right, because it's no race here. It's about your healing in your own time. In order to move forward, you need to, you need to process all this stuff. And it takes as much time as it takes. Who'd be for me or anybody else to tell you when you should heal, or rather how quickly you should heal? That's not what it's about. It's about understanding what's going on inside you, understanding your fear, your anger, your guilt, shame, all those other stigmas that are going on inside you that have brought you to come here. Deal with it. So it's very, very important, and we go out of our way to stress this across to our participants to come here, that your healing time is your time. It's not, we don't tell you a certain time, and nor would we or should we. And again, that's another thing we don't use. So that word should, it does not equate here. It doesn't exist. We don't should you anything. It's all about, it's all about you. And if you want to, it's your choice. It's basically what I'm getting at. We never should tell you anything. And that's not what we're all about here. We're all about showing you different ways of looking at your trauma and dealing with it in different ways versus self-destructive ways. And speaking for myself, and even speaking for some of the others that I've seen go through this path, like Deb, for example, that I bring here, that I co-facilitate with, the one that wrote my story, for example, another great example of healing. Art Lockhart, the founding director of the Gatehouse, he's a survivor as well. Which, by the way, the Gatehouse was founded in 1998. And he is a firm believer that when he opened up his house, he wanted a place for men to come and heal, because there was nothing. At that time, and the time that I'm talking about, like in 98, there was tons of places for women to go and get help for their trauma, but there was nothing for men. And granted, there was agencies around, and for the research that I've done, there's some in the States, especially in the UK. Totally impressed with what I've seen over there. Different organizations that offer healing for childhood sexual abuse. I was totally blown away with what I've seen over there. Granted, again, that's really a discussion all in itself, where my mind was going. But nonetheless, they're a great example of places you can go for men and women, to come and get some kind of healing for their past trauma. And another daunting side to what I'm talking about is, at the house here, we also do investigations for children. So this is basically a place where the trauma police services, or trauma police, and CSA, our children's aid, to come here and do other investigations of children. And so they come here with their parents or their guardians, and we have both the trauma police would have, for example, they would have either one detective here or two. And there'll be a representative here from Children's Aid or CSA, and the parent or caregiver, they come here and they conduct the interview. We don't conduct the interview. We have a special room that we have built, and this is a very safe place. If you saw pictures, you go onto our website and you go www.thegatehouse.org, you'll see that this is just a house. It doesn't look like an institution. It's far from being an institution. And even how it's run is far from being an institution. We're not walking around in coats, or in like white hospital coats or doctor's coats, or anything like that. It's not like that. It's not, you don't come in the door and fill out a ton of forms. I mean, we have some pretty simple rules here, but it's very, very laid back, and as it should be. Again, here I use that word should, but I don't like using that word should. As it can be, and it is. You come in here, and it's very low-key. And it's a very, very safe place. And that's the great thing about when the police and PSA bring children here for an investigation. And that's the idea, is they come to this house. The house is full of teddy bears. And you know, it feels safe, looks safe. I find it safe. I mean, to me, this is the safest place in the world, other than when I go up north in the bush, where I'm away from people. So it's a great place for that. And it's great that the Gate Hills offers that sort of thing. And it's beautiful. Like when you bring your children here, a friend of that tradition, is so friendly and warm. We have there's tons and tons of toys all geared towards children. And it doesn't look like a typical institution like a hospital or a police station. And to me, when you're trying to get information out of a child, to me that would be a lot more, well, to me that would work a lot better by doing it this way versus, trying to bring them into an institution and scaring the hell out of the child, you know, and not getting any kind of information whatsoever that could either protect them and save them from what was happening to them, get them out of a bad home, or wherever the situation may be. But nevertheless, the house does that sort of thing. So basically, I've talked about house offering support for men's groups, women's groups, co-ed groups, and YAC 18-24. We have art therapy for 12 weeks. We do one-on-one peer support for anybody who may need it, and we also do another reason why we might do one-on-one or one-on-one support depending on the individual. You know, the individual may not feel comfortable being in a group, so we'll do 6 weeks of therapy that way, and we'll extend it if need be, depending on where that person is. So our goal is that when we do 6 weeks with you, that we help you put you in a place that you are comfortable coming to a group. Because really, in my experience, doing group therapy at a peer level was so beneficial to my healing, as it was for many others that I've seen come through here. And I've seen hundreds and hundreds of people come through here over the years. So when I say that, I really try to believe me that I know what I'm talking about in regards to the process, because that's what's involved here. And again, I can't say how grateful I am to be part of this. And it makes me really happy every time I get a chance to talk about it, to show people that there's another way. Okay, what else am I talking about? Okay, so the week, which I never really talked about when I got started here, was the week before that I was gone. I know that same weekend, Charmaine and Art and myself, we did a partners group, which was very successful. That would have been on September the September 11th. It would have been a Saturday. And we had a total of about 14 or 15 people. It was a beautiful day. I got to hang out with Charmaine, which was fantastic. Oh, Charmaine is a facilitator here. And if you go to ruthlesscoaching.com, you will find her. Not only will you find her, you can find her on Facebook. You can find her on Twitter. You can find her, on her webpage. And she's a life coach. And now she's a qualified therapist, because she just graduated. So, you know, she has lots to offer in helping you in your healing. And it's great to have her here at the house as well as a co-facilitator and as a volunteer. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman and has lots to offer. So I highly encourage anybody, if you're living in the Toronto area and you need some extra help, there's the person to give a call. And I don't have her phone number here in front of me, but you can find her through the web. Charmaine Leverin or ruthlesscoaching.com, and she can help you. You know, I've been fortunate enough to know her for, probably 4 years now, I guess, somewhere around 4 years. And she's just a lovely woman, beautiful woman. Has lots to offer, lots of great insights, and all I know is that when I facilitate with her or hang out with her, she's just an absolute, just very, very, beautiful person to be around, is what I'm trying to say. And I just loved hanging out with her, because she's a great lady. But not just that she's a great lady, but she's got lots of great insight. And it's wonderful when I hear her talk with some of her experiences and her sharing, because a lot of people would get a lot out of what she has to say. And if you need her, if you need coaching, a life coach, well, then that she'd be the perfect person to talk to. Charmaine has also been struggling for the last year. She's been trying to get this topic of sexual abuse, trying to get it into the schools. Where when I talk about getting into the schools, I'm talking about for awareness. And she would like to get it so they talk about it people, I don't know, in the schools they need to talk about it more. People, the kids need to know at least at a, I would think at least at a grade 7 or a grade 8 level, where they can, where children can get a really good understanding to what it's about and what are the signs, look for, what they can do to, if it is happening to them, what kind of support they need or what they want. But more on the fact of being aware that it is wrong. And what I mean by that, teach them about inappropriate touching. Just about being safe, not letting people violate them in ways that potentially could, destroy their lives over a period of time. And things just basically about awareness. Awareness and understanding, you are a child, so it doesn't mean an adult or whether it be your parents or a friend of the family or a sibling or uncle or aunt or friend of the family, anybody like that can't touch you inappropriately. And what Charmaine is trying to do, she's trying to get this into schools so that they can be taught this, so they understand that inappropriate touching, basically my point I'm trying to get, even though I made that a little bit long-winded, forgive me for that, but basically what she's trying to do is get it into schools so that there's some form of awareness, and that's what it's all about. It's about awareness, which is so very important for children to understand. Although when you're a child and when this does happen to you, like with myself, with my own experience, I had no control over what happened to me, but at least that if a child, it does happen to a child, at least they feel they have some spot they can turn and talk to, because I know as a child growing up, I know when to turn to and I know when to talk to. So the difference being now is that, by implementing this in the schools, at least the children will have some kind of a corner to turn and ask for help. And I think that's so very important in regards to a child, not just for the growth, but to know that they're safe and that they have a safe place that they can talk about it. And, it's not an easy topic at all. It's no different than when I talked about suicide. It's a very, very, very deep topic. What I mean by deep, it's so taboo. Most people don't even want to address it. But nonetheless, this is something that needs to be addressed. And two people like it's so very important that they know that they can talk about something and not have to worry about being beaten for it or chastised for it anyway, or belittled, or basically re-victimized all over again. They got to feel safe about it and feel open that they can talk about it. So yes, it's very important. Again, this is the topic. I'm probably going to get Charmaine on here one more time again. And we're going to talk about this on a greater level. Especially now that I've got all my technical problems that I've had there for quite a while, but I know the last, I'm going to get her on here and live. I know she's doing, actually she's in the house here tonight, and her and another facilitator are doing a group. But when she's done, I'm going to get her to come back on here again. It probably won't be until after, probably not until Christmas or after New Year, but I'm going to get her to come in here, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more. So where she's at with this, as far as bringing this into the schools, and I think this is very important. And if we had the public backing her, which she does have she had a petition going on there for quite a while, and which she still does, which she was going to give to our provincial government, Kathleen Wynne, and try to get them to pass a bill to put it in the schools, or at least get the school boards to think about it and start implementing it in their school curriculum, where so children are aware of this could happen to you, and this is what can do if this does happen to you, so they feel, you know, they feel some kind of security over this. Okay. I've covered a lot of things here now, and what else am I forgetting that I should talk about? Been on here for almost an hour, and I'm going to try to have a guest on, by the way, next week. I'm not too sure who it will be, but I am going to try to have a guest on here next week, so it's just not me talking. But I needed to talk about these things that I've talked about. Granted, I was gone last week. And damn, I sure missed not being here at the house. I was gone the whole week, and it's probably, the house is such an important part of what I do now in regards to a lot of things, not just in my personal healing, but for what I believe in, my values, my morals, a whole bunch of things all bottled up together. And I felt really weird not being here for a whole week. Granted, I was away for a week and I was doing that training, and a training that I've done is a big thing, because it's going to help people here in the house. It's going to help people in the community. It's going to bring another sense of awareness of suicide, which people do not want to talk about, and I'm not afraid to talk about. And myself and Brad are really looking forward. We can't wait to actually get started. Actually, we are going to have. I was talking with Brad today. He's getting his voice back because he had a voice problem. That in the first week of December, we are going to do our very first group together, which I'm very, very excited. And it will be probably 14, 15 people. And it'll all be from the house. I'm pretty sure it'll all be from the house. They'll all be facilitators. And we're going to start implementing what I've been talking about. So I'm really, really charged up about this. And I cannot wait to start doing this. I worked really, really hard on this. And granted, I still have some more work to do in regards to this, because there's a lot of preparation that's involved in facilitating this. And that's why it took a week-long course just to learn how to do this. And even then, doesn't mean I'm 100% proficient on doing what I'm talking about, because it's still going to require both of us getting together and making sure that we're on the same page and understanding that what we're talking about, we're teaching, again, like I say, that we're basically on cue together, and that there are messages that we're teaching the other individuals that is getting out there. The message that we're telling you is that you understand it, comprehend it, and you get something out of it. Because a lot of what we teach in the ASSIST program, a lot of it, it's not all role play, but role play comes into it. And just so you understand, because how can you get any experience? It's kind of hard to get experience when we're only just talking about it. But granted, not that you want to have that kind of experience, but I think you kind of know what I'm getting at. But nonetheless, I'm very charged on doing that, and sending with Brad, I'm looking so forward to doing that, which is coming up in December, which is actually not that far away. So we're really looking forward to that. Okay, so I don't think I'm going to be broadcasting too much longer. I've done about an hour, and I wanted to do this. I wanted to touch base with you. All granted, there is other things that I do like to talk about, but I'd rather do it on an interactive level with somebody else talking. I'd rather talking to somebody else on a much deeper and a much broader view versus just my own, which is really kind of biased as far as I'm concerned in my own point of view. But nonetheless, I wanted to get on here and talk about the things I've talked about, everything from the ASSIST training that I did, the ASSIST facilitator training, to the groups which we have here at the house, both the men's group, women's group, co-ed group, art therapy, and one-on-ones, and what else am I forgetting here? Jeez. Oh, yes. Well, could I forget about this? I briefly touched upon it. The partners groups, which we offer here as well. You know what? I should say this, Steve. I'll tell you this as well. We also get individuals coming in here, which we've had a few times now, the few groups that I've done, partners groups, where they've come by themselves. And I can kind of appreciate that because I'm single. You know, I'm not involved with anybody. And I've talked about myself in this matter lots and lots. But my point being is that it's important for a single person to go. And what I get out of it, I know if I went, I know that time I went with Deb, I went as a friend with her. Deb Mayberry is the author of Unlock the Door Beyond Sexual Abuse. I actually got an awful lot out of it because I know that, okay, I'm not going to get too involved in this conversation. What I mean by too involved in it, I'm not going to go too crazy in regards to my feelings and where I'm coming from and that sort of thing, but I will tell you a few things. What I do get out of it is I get a better understanding. What I mean by better understanding is I'm hearing couples talk about their trials or their struggles in getting to where they are. And for example, here's a very good way of putting it. Okay, now you have a couple, for example. It doesn't even have to be an intimate couple. It could be just a friend and a survivor, for example. Okay? And, yes, the friend and the survivor. So the survivor, rather the friend, I should say, of the survivor, throughout this period of time, are the 15 weeks, for example, like I talked about the program here at the house, for the men's, for example, or a woman's. It could be either side, not gender-specific, but they see a growth, what happens with this individual. So they know this person before they came in here, and through that 15-week period of time, they see a change in this person. They don't understand because they only know the person being in a certain way, or they know them as acting and whatever their behavior might have been, it's different. It's not the same. They don't know that person. So basically by having your partner come in here or your friend, you come in here and what we try to do is it gives you to help you understand the growth that survivor has gone through. And to understand, not just the growth, but also understanding the dark side of it as well. Why they, for example, like why they carry fear, why they have the anger, why they have the guilt, why they have, why they want to just plain, isolate themselves from the world because, they have a fear that, that someone's going to do something to them, and rightfully so, from my point of view anyway. But nevertheless, this is what we try to help them. This is what we try to help your partner or your friend, whatever your scenario may be, we try to help you with right there. So by doing so, as a single person, I found it would help you. I know it helped me in a lot of ways, although I did go with Deb and we worked as a team, because a lot of what we do, what we try to show you in when we do the partners group is we work on trust. Trust is a huge, huge thing. I've talked about trust in many different aspects, many different conversations, not just by myself, but with others as well. And trust is always a huge thing. So what we try to do when we do the partners groups is we try to we do these trust exercises to help you. I mean, that's just part of it, amongst a whole bunch of other things. I won't get too much into the gravy of it, but that's just one of the aspects of it. Trust is always a big, big thing. But as a single person going in, I really believe you can get something out of it. And because when I mean you can get something out of it, you're not only getting something out of it from another survivor, but you're also getting something out of it from a non-survivor's point of view. And a lot of times, a lot of survivors, while we tend to fall back into, we tend to be in victim mode. I'm not saying everybody's like that. I'm just saying a lot or some will do that. And by doing so, we've shut people out, and regardless of the other person's opinion, we only see it our way. And I guess if you understood where I'm coming from or what I'm saying, you'd get what I'm talking about. But it's not about right or wrong. It's just about understanding. And that's what we try to get. That's the whole idea with the partners group, is we try to get both sides to understand. Because, if you want that, then what I mean by want that is if you want to have a meaningful relationship, whether it be intimate or plain friendship, then you need to understand these things about one another. And the non-survivor needs to understand, well, where the hell's my head? Like, what am I thinking about? Why do I You know, if something happens, why do I react the way I do? Why don't I have whatever I don't have? Depending on the situation, like, there's probably a whole bunch of different scenarios. But the idea with the partners group is to help both sides. And granted, it's only one day, and I know we've talked about it with Art, and I think what's going to happen is that over a period of time, we are going to extend it to 2 days. So basically, it won't be 2 days in a row. It will extend it to two Saturdays. But it is also hard to get people that work and whatever their busy lives are to get them together at the same time. It's always easier with one, and you can adjust, but to get two and adjust, it's not always that simple. So I was so grateful. So I did that. I did that Saturday, September 11th, before I went on the assist training. And what else am I forgetting about that happened? Then I came here Sunday, and Master Teresa was here. And Qigong, which they had out in the garden outside. It wasn't a very warm day. It was a very wet and blistery day. And but good. It was they had a barbecue. The house raised about, I don't know, $400 or $500 for the house, which was fantastic. Through donations and the food that we barbecued off. Great job to the volunteer staff that did all the cooking. And it was a great turnout. There's probably 50 people here, 50, 60 people, I guess, at any given time. Excuse me. So it was a great success. And I know they're going to do it again. Okay, so what else am I forgetting here before I sign off, which I won't be on much longer? Am I forgetting about... I know we are going to be doing a partners group again. I don't have an exact date yet. It will be in October. And I would say, I'm only guessing, but let me just bring up my calendar here. Let me see if I can find it. My calendar. Where are you? Here we are. Okay. So for October, I would say, I'm only guessing, but I would think that it would probably be either the 9th, I'm guessing the 9th or the 16th. Now, I will get back to you on this, but if you're in the GTA and you would like to come to our partners group and you are a survivor of childhood sexual abuse and your partner is not, or your friend, whatever the case may be, then I would recommend, highly recommend you come, and we can help you understand a lot of things. Help you on your journey of healing both sides, and maybe even help you with some of these trust issues. All I know is that from my previous experience being in a relationship, both intimate and non-intimate level, I wish that I had come here and done this a long time ago, because it would have helped me and the person that I was trying to be close with or intimate with in a lot of ways. And I know that ever given the opportunity again that I am in that situation, I will certainly try to get my friend or intimate partner to come and do this, as it will be beneficial both for that, for her and I. Okay. So, like I say, it could potentially be those dates we're talking about, the 10th and the 17th. And I don't know what else I can say. I do have other things I could talk about. I've already burned here about just over an hour. And I really hope I made some sense to you, and I hope you got a better understanding in regards to the programs that happen here at the Gatehouse. I also hope you have a better understanding about the assist facilitator training, which I talked about, which I've done on as well, myself and Brad, and how now we've done this and how we're going to basically implement it into Gatehouse, into the Gatehouse facilitators, as well as going to be part of our policy. We do have a suicide plan here already, but this is just going to fine tune it. That's basically what it's going to do. We do have a plan in place here. We've always had a plan in place. We'll be very clear about that. And you should know that, or rather than you should know, but you got to understand that this is very, very important when it comes to dealing with what we deal with here. It's sometimes a daily topic, sometimes it's not. But it's in our face all the time. I know, speaking from my point of view, from my experiences, from my past, and from what I've heard from many, many, many others, and I can actually say hundreds of people now over the years, that this thought or notion always comes up at some point or another through the through the healing process. And this is a very, very, very dark topic. And I had to touch base with it. And I know I will be talking about it from time to time. And it is very, very important for people to understand, at least have an understanding, well, some kind of understanding about it anyway. I don't think anybody really truly understands why a person does it, why it does it. But at least have a better understanding about the awareness of it and how what the after effects are when somebody does do it, and what the after effects are rather, how it affects it when you think about it and talk about it. There's many different aspects you can go with it. So it's a great debate, and it needs to be talked about, and the whole topic of suicide. And I'm not afraid to talk about it anymore. And people need to worry about it. I'm going to be pretty much foremost in front of people's faces talking about this from now on, just like the childhood sexual abuse. I'm going to be one major advocate for both, because for me, they both have an awful lot of meaning to me, not only from my personal experiences with myself, but from the people around me. And it needs to be addressed and talked about. And I will go to whatever extent to make people aware that this, that this is a problem and it needs to be talked about. But anyway, folks, I think my time is just about done. I'm not going to talk about anymore about suicide. I'm not going to talk anymore about child abuse. I'm pretty much brain dead, as they would say. It's my first week back to work, and it's been a long week already, and it's only Thursday. I can't believe how the week's gone by. Granted, it's been a pretty good week. I had a good Monday group with Deb, the co-ed group, which Deb and I do on Mondays, which will be ending in December. And I'm not too sure what I'm going to do after that. I know my role around the house here is changing in a lot of different aspects. Not that I'm not going to be facilitating, but I'm taking on some other responsibilities, and I'm looking so forward to doing that. So care and attention to everybody is so very important. And especially when it comes to your healing, and everybody got to look out for one another, and that's kind of what we do around here anyway. Never mind what I've just stated in regards to my responsibility and what I do and what I don't do, but everybody around here is important, and everybody needs to take care. That's what I'm getting at. Everybody needs self-care. Everybody needs to be acknowledged, and there's a lot of good people here. I can't say enough about the people here in the house, especially the volunteers and the staff. The volunteers here are phenomenal. They're bar none some of the best people I've ever met in my life, and not just because of their experience or where we can relate, but just for their time that they contribute here, and where they could be home to their families, or they could be doing whatever, even if it's nothing. But they come here and they spend all this time, like lots of time. When we come in here to do a group, we volunteer to facilitate a group. We're committed for 15 weeks and then some. We strive on care and attention for our participants. It's so very important in their healing process. And so we go out of our way in many ways to make sure that is done. So, folks, we'll be back next week. I'm going to try to have a guest on here. I won't tell you who it is yet. I got a few ideas here, which I have in mind yet, but I'd rather not say so I know for sure. And on Monday when I come in, I'll put it up on the post through Blog Talk Radio, Personal Transformation, who my guest will be or not. But I'm trying to get a guest on here for next Thursday. And maybe it'll be music. Who knows? I have no idea. But I'll leave that open for myself, of course. And folks, take care. Most importantly, take care. And take care. I'll be back next week. I certainly hope you got something out of this program. And I'll see you next week. Thank you for your time.